Welcome, everybody, to the Fastcast Podcast. I'm Slowpoke number one, Johnny Colitis.
I'm Slowpoke number two, David Chalante. How y'all doing?
How are we all doing? How are they all doing? Or how I'm all doing?
All of them at once.
All.
Dear audience, how are all of you? That's great! I only listen to those of you who said good. I don't care about the rest of you. Suffer in silence, please.
No, it's all right. I listen to the other half of you who are suffering in silence, and I feel your pain.
Isn't that sweet?
Yep, but we're here to talk about all the things that are slightly more current than everything else we talk about.
Exactly. So maybe we'll start off with the other part of the opening question that you interpreted there.
Yeah?
How are you, John?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. A friend of mine is leaving the country for...
Oh, yeah, you were telling me about that.
...greater and better things, going to work at a fantastic new place. So,
yeah, I'm not going to say any of these things because I don't want to, like, out this person or whatever as, like, you know... I said out as though it has anything to do with sexuality, but I don't want to invade this person's privacy.
Yep.
But the story that I've heard is awesome.
Yep.
Absolutely awesome, like achieving dreams type stuff.
Yep.
So great for them.
Yep, she's a great friend and I hope she has a fantastic time. But that's mostly been what's on my mind.
Yeah,
apart
I can understand
from
that.
Making the main show and everything.
Yeah, apart from all of the stuff that we do to make you all happy.
Oh, also, yeah, I'm like, can we be real now, right? Like, yeah, I was like working on this show and like coming up with plans, future plans. Boy.
Yeah, no, we are actually at that point, aren't we? Where things that were concepts are starting to become ideas, and that's exciting.
David was glancing at a whiteboard that's behind me.
Yeah, that has dot points on it. It's all very official.
Yeah, we're very busy. Business-like here at Slowpoke's HQ, i.e. my parents' lounge room.
Slowpoke's Proprietary Limited.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. But how are you, David?
I'm actually fucking great, to be honest, man.
Whoa!
So I've been LARPing. We'll talk about that in a second, all right? I'm not going to just say that as a throwaway comment. But yeah, I've been going to LARP like once a week, but last night I decided not to because a friend was having a party for no reason, basically. Yeah. They had a party for the sake of a party.
Those can be fun parties.
Yeah, it was retroactively made in honor of Obama's birthday.
Oh!
Which, was
congratulations
what it was.
To President, ex-President Obama.
Ex-President Obama. There are many things to criticize about that man's administration, but we all miss you.
Yeah, like his drone strikes, but yes, we do miss
we
you.
We miss you quite a lot.
Trump's a monster.
Yeah, and you're allowed to say that now,
aren't
you?
Oh, yeah, totally. I left my government job, which was why I couldn't talk about it. There you go, everyone. Are you happy now? I worked for the government. I was a slave to the man.
Yeah.
By choice.
And also... the capacity you worked as the government for was as an assassin, right?
Yeah,
like everybody was right about
it. It's like, you know, but like the assassin, like the kind of like, yeah, it was just an assassin. There's no way to dress an assassin
then,
up,
like,
is there?
Yeah, I thought I'd put in the effort, but come on, like I'm not beholden to an NDA now.
Yeah.
I've killed people for the Commonwealth.
So yeah, for the Commonwealth, the greater Commonwealth. You know, because the Empire actually hasn't died, so technically I'm a British secret agent.
Non-assassin news related.
Yeah.
I'm actually super good. Like, I'm not very big on, like, leaving the house for the most part. And this particular party, because I don't drink, like, the prospect of going to a party at some person's house where alcohol is clearly a central feature, it's a high wall to climb for me most of the time. But I also didn't know anybody but the host. But I thought, fuck it, it's probably good for my mental health to get out. I went and I had a fucking amazing time. Someone said that they thought I would make a good Sherlock Holmes. Another person, oh no, the same person, said that they could immediately tell that I'm quite smart. And that they were concerned that if we started a conversation that they wouldn't be able to keep up with me. Most of the time... More than one person has said that, right? They tend to be women, which is disappointing. But most of the time when I hear it, I fucking hate myself, right? Because I know that I have, like, the whole vocabulary and all of that kind of thing.
Yeah,
but I don't want to make people feel alienated because of it.
All you do is use a word-a-day calendar. It's not anyone can do it, right?
Well, I actually don't. I'm just this good. But... but honestly, it is something that comes up where people, normally when people like point out, oh, well, you seem really smart or whatever, I generally feel quite self-conscious about that because for a lot of people, it's a barrier. It's not, you know, a point of admiration. But
also, you have a whole team making you seem that smart that respond to a microphone commands.
Yeah, I mean, let's not go into to the why and the how.
Spoilers!
But no, it was pretty cool because like... it was a very relaxed environment, and I felt pretty good about the whole jam, and I didn't feel like weird and out of place. And I know that that's perhaps a little bit too insightful into my my mental processes and my social anxiety there, but
it's great that you went out and had a good time.
Yeah, basically, it wasn't just like an okay time; it was like genuinely a really fucking good time. So
that's a good thing.
Yeah,
we should all have
I'm in
good
a good
times.
Mood, is what I'm trying to say.
Two thumbs up. he says, because you can't see me.
Should we talk about LARP, or have I wasted all my personal
time? Let's talk about LARP. I want to talk about LARP, because I actually like LARP, and I've been meaning to go back to it, but I'm going to get real now. We're all going to get real here on the podcast, on the Fastcast. I haven't been to LARP, because I was worried about my own personal fitness.
Oh, right. I have gone, and look, I'm going to make a blanket assumption here. I would say that you are at least 50 to 75% more fit than I am, right?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, you are definitely stronger by a long way, and you're probably a lot more capable of, like, cardio and shit.
I was going for a run when you turned up
to your house and you weren't here because you were out doing fitness.
Yep.
So I am fine with it. I'm not going to pretend I'm the best fighter there. I'm a long way from that.
Yep.
But I'm fine with, like, how much sprinting and stuff is involved, so you definitely would be.
Great.
LARP is kind of fun. I've only been twice so far, and what I think is the most disappointing thing about it is I go to the Swordcraft thing in Carlton.
Yep. That's in Melbourne, Australia.
Yes. It is a lot more like a sport than it is like an RPG. So, you know, people divide into teams, they get up on the oval, they have to achieve certain objectives. Mm. Heaps of fun. Right. It is a lot of fun to be in, like, a mock battle like that.
And also, in all honesty, I'm someone who's actually might be getting into sport in general as, like, a fitness and a game thing.
Yeah.
Because sports have fun game components. That's why I loved League of Legends. Because it was like playing a pickup football game, but fantasy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's what LARPing has the interest in. Yeah, especially with the battles and stuff.
Yeah, and that is all super fun. Like, I personally would be a lot more invested if there was a more consistent, like, roleplay element to it. And they do have these occasional quest meetups. And I've tried to talk to a couple of people about it, but speaking as a nerd.
talking as a geek.
When you speak to a person about something they're very passionate about,
yes,
sometimes the quality of the information that they're providing is buried in the raw excitement they have for having the opportunity to talk about something they find exciting.
Mm.
The 4 or 5 times I've asked people to explain how Quest actually works, that has been a massive problem. And they've just started talking about all of these little, like, they're not actually very informative things, and so I don't really understand how Quest operates.
This is like when someone gets excited and all they do is talk about their favorite little moments from something,
yeah,
rather than actually summing it up.
Yeah, like they're talking about it reminiscently rather than talking about it informatively.
Yeah.
And so I guess it'll be fun, but yeah, I don't know, like, is there the equivalent of, like, a DM? Is, like, how much of it is player-driven? Am I beholden to whatever warband I'm going with, or am I able to have, like, a lot of autonomy? Like, I just don't really understand a lot. Is it just going to be more elaborate fights?
I mean, you know, fights are so much fun.
Yeah, but
I get what you mean.
It's not going to keep me going back. Like, that, I will be over it in, like, 3 or 4 months if it's just the fights.
From what I know, there are, like, events and, like, stories, but I haven't been yet. So I do want to go. I just have been, I always forget that it's on. And I'm also awkward about going to things by myself. So if I know you're going, I might just tag along.
If you went, you would be part of the new militia.
Yep.
So, like, the very first time you go, so you and I wouldn't actually be able to play together.
No, that's fine.
But
then I'll find you on the battlefield.
Yeah, and, like, it's super, super welcoming. I'll say that. Like, there have been a couple of warbands where the personalities of the people there haven't really clicked with me.
Yeah.
But nobody has made me feel unwelcome.
Yeah.
No. And there are some people who are, like, overwhelmingly welcoming. So it's cool. If anybody is interested in LARP, yeah, it was fun. I'd recommend you give it a shot if you're interested.
Great. That sounds cool. So a game that's just come out that we were both excited to talk about, but I haven't gotten to it yet because I've been so busy.
Because you're part of the Slowpokes, and that's like our whole thing.
It's just my mantra, man.
Yeah.
Nice and slow.
The game's Pyre, everyone, and it is one of the best things I've done in ages, and John is wasting time, and I just want to get to it. Pyre is so good.
Oh, God.
It is so amazingly good.
All right, okay, I'm sorry. Leave so I can play it.
Yeah, like, so Supergiant, I'm a huge fan of Supergiant.
Yeah.
And I've been a huge fan of Supergiant since the very first time I heard the very first chord of the Bastion soundtrack.
Because it's amazing.
It's amazing, right? Darren Korb is back at it again. He's just bunching the music.
Back
at
it again.
Crushing it. This Pyre is fucking great. Bastion was amazing.
Yep.
Transistor was pretty good.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. That's
this. like,
see, I actually heard that it depends on who you are, which ones you like. Yeah. Because they sometimes, they have these slightly different tweaks to them, that kind of.
Yeah, and I went back to Bastion and tried to play it, and the aesthetic of that is not as detailed and as rich as I remember it being.
Right.
But it is still a really good looking, really interesting looking, really great sounding game with that dynamic narrator, which has never quite been as good since, but like is still very, like in that one is just perfect. Like whatever voice actor they had for that is flawless in that role.
So good.
So I've always been a huge fan of Bastion and of Supergiant and all the stuff they make. So I've been excited for Pyre for a long time, and it is so good. Like, there was a part of me that was like, it's not going to be as good as Bastion. Like, prepare yourself. It is not going to be as good as Bastion. I have spent enough time with it that I think it is the superior game.
Ooh,
like, it is
interesting.
It is the best thing that they've done. And I have heard, like, Jim Sterling, for example, is somebody who's always been quite detached from Supergiant games. Yep. He's very much
the
music's good and that sucks everyone in, kind of into it.
Yeah, like, he's self-described that that's his opinion.
Yeah, he's like, you know, games like a C+ or a B, the music is really good, and that makes people think the game is an A overall. That kind of thing. But he's also come out and said, this is the first time that the thing everybody said about Supergiant has been true of my experience as I play it. And I completely understand it. It is the most polished thing they've come out with. And I could talk about this for hours. Like, you need to say something, John.
You're not allowed to. Not to be, I'm going to say not to be incredibly reductive, but I'm going to be incredibly reductive. Okay. Isn't it a sports game?
Yes. All right. Now, this is, okay, this blows my fucking mind, because one of the developers apparently described it as a mix between the combat in Transistor and Dota.
Yeah, you said that before.
That's the worst explanation that I could think of the combat.
Did he explain why he said that?
I can kind of see it if you came at it from the inside.
Yeah, if you were a games person,
if you
only thought about games.
If you were as enraptured with Transistor as he probably was.
Did he accidentally create sports? He reverse engineered sports from inside video games?
The gameplay of it is, it's actually mostly more like a visual novel. Like, you spend very little time comparatively playing the rights.
I actually enjoy visual novels.
Yeah, and the writing is so compelling. Mm. And more so than any other Supergiant game, we actually have depth of character, because in previous ones, it's all very elusive. You only have one voiced character in previous Supergiant games.
Totally, yeah. And you're always like after the fact of an event or something like
and
that.
And in this, there is still technically only one voiced character, but every character is written with dialogue, and so they have their interactions, and it's the world that they live in is very, very full, and it's just bursting at the seams. Like, it's so clear that there's so much more going on beyond the frame, and you start off very confused as to what the world is like, and you are only given these tiny little motes of it. And in so many other things, I would say that's a bad idea. Like, I shouldn't be confused about what all of this means in the beginning, but there's something about the way they present it where that confusion is like, or that lack of knowledge is, I will understand this more in time, and this confusion is natural for me in this moment. Like, it isn't off-putting. The gameplay moments for the rights themselves is like that sports thing. So you've got three people on each side.
Yep.
Only one of them can be controlled at a time. Each of them has an aura around them, and if you make contact with someone's aura, you're knocked out of play for like 5 to 10 seconds or whatever.
So is there literally like a circle around them? Or, and it actually moves with the character.
So like each different characters have different sized auras. So you'll have like really fast moving characters have a very, very small circle around them. Slow moving, tough characters will have a lot much larger one. And so like, if you have got a small aura and I've got a large one and we charge towards each other, you'll be banished by my aura before yours even comes close to me.
Yeah, okay.
When you pick up the ball, the aura disappears. And so anyone can banish someone who's carrying the ball. And
do the characters come back after they've been
banished? Yeah, yeah. So, and different characters have different respawn times. Yeah. So faster characters sometimes come back quicker. Slower characters are a little bit longer to come back.
Oh, man. This sounds cool.
Yeah. And like, just there's a lot of little things as well. Like, the stat that determines how quickly you come back is hope. And the stat that determines how big your aura is presence.
Oh, that's adorable.
And like, so they have these, like, the out of context, maybe that it's not really landing what that is, but like all of the stats have different, like you don't have agility or dexterity, you have quickness, and just like it just fits so perfectly with the world. Your your character doesn't actually appear in the riots. You're what's known as a reader. You're someone who has learnt how to read. That is that is why you're special in this world.
Wow.
Because in this world, reading is outlawed, and you can do it. And that is relevant for a whole bunch of narrative reasons. But it's very strange because, like, you know, the world is just so immersed with all of these little things that make that very crazy. It's so full and colorful and enrapturing. I love it, and I can't wait to get back to it.
Yeah, so I will have to experience this so that we can, I don't know, maybe talk about it more, maybe do something with that. Does it have a multiplayer?
I think it does. Yeah. I'm almost certain that it does. I haven't tried it.
Okay, because I would be really curious if I can start playing it for a bit, and then maybe we can have a fight together.
I will crush you. Like,
oh, really?
I'm very good at this game.
Okay. All right. Okay, we're going to finish this recording, and I'm going to go in that room, and I'm going to be practicing.
Yeah, just nonstop. You're going to have a Rocky montage, and then we'll have our
1v1.
Yeah, and definitely. Then I'll beat you, and then you'll say some things about Adrian, and that's the plot of Rocky.
Yeah, definitely. is it? I haven't seen Rocky.
Yeah. It is the plot of Rocky.
Okay, thank you. I took your word for it. But that's Pyre. Sounds exciting. Very exciting. We all want to get to it.
That was the thing that I was super excited about. John, from what I understand, there is a movie that came out kind of recently that you want to talk about a little bit.
Yeah, so The Dark Tower came out, and I haven't seen it yet.
No, very few people have.
Yeah, which is a thing to know. And also, not a lot of people have liked it.
Yeah, so Stephen King, best-selling series, nerd love, super, super, super high interest series, totally beamed the movie, apparently. Mm. Apparently it's really bad.
See, I was really excited when they decided to cast Idris Elba as the gunslinger, right?
Yeah.
Which is always great to see when they just cast someone who fits the character, but is not a literal representation. This character is depicted as white.
In the book.
Book. And also in all the graphic novels and everything like that, he's depicted as a Clint Eastwood-esque character.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
And then they've got that was a perfect fit for him. The same as he would be a perfect fit for James Bond as well.
Yeah.
But
he has a lot of gravitas and a huge amount of screen presence.
One of my favorite parts about Thor, and the TV show Luther is a great example of his work.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I was really excited to see The Dark Tower. Also because it had Matthew McConaughey in it.
Yeah, and I keep forgetting that.
Some of his recent work has really shown his range as an actor and kind of reminded people. Like, I'm a big True Detective season one fan. Not a season two fan, but a season one fan.
Season one was much, much better.
Yeah. And some of his other movies as well, I've been really excited about. So I was really excited to see them together. But I feel like they've just dropped the ball. And from what I've read online, there was apparently a whole bunch of directorial vetoes and a lot of things.
Yeah, I don't know much about that. I just know that every single critic who's seen like an advanced screening of it says that it's garbage. Like, I saw a tweet from Patrick Rothfuss about one of the reviews, and the tweet was something along the lines of, "This makes me fear for my books."
Damn, that's
right. Like, it's apparently real bad.
Yeah, I feel like they just like washed it out to its basic themes.
Yeah,
because
I hear it's super super formulaic, and it's like.
I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. Yeah. I kind of do want to see it just to see Idris Elba perform because I could watch him do almost anything. I don't know if Stephen King was involved because there's like a thing that when Stephen King's involved in a movie, it's garbage. And when he's not, a la The Shining, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's like one of the greatest films of all time.
Yeah, so I'm kind of curious, and I don't know. I'm wondering if Stephen King was involved in this film.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's disappointing. But it could still have gems in there, and I'd be interested to maybe explore it a little bit more.
Yeah, and I'm just going to like end this topic with a very clear reiteration of the fact that neither of us have seen the movie. We are just responding to the opinions of others online.
Yeah.
So maybe it's amazing for all I fucking know.
Regardless, go watch Luther. It's a great TV show.
Other news from this week is that PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds is apparently the most bought and most played game on Steam that is not made by Valve.
I've been trying to engage with like forums and all that kind of stuff, and all I see is people talking and sharing videos about this game right now.
Yeah, and so I'm not a huge fan of competitive games, especially competitive shooters. They're really not generally my thing. But the concept of PUBG. God, I fucking hate this name.
What's wrong with PUBG?
PUBG. PUBG. Player Unknown's Battleground. It's one of these things that's like, the acronym is fine when you're typing it, but saying it is just the worst.
It just rolls down the hill onto the gravel road.
It's the name of the game is honestly a big reason why I haven't gotten into it. Because I just see the name of it, and I just think it seems like a really shit zombie survival thing. But like, then I've actually watched some of the play, right? And it's an awesome concept. It's like a big battle royale. Like, that's sick.
It's not the first game to actually try this. There have been other games out there, but I feel like this one has struck a chord with everybody.
I mean, without a doubt, people are responding to it.
As you've said, it's the most bought game on Steam, not by Valve.
Yeah, Steam is a near monopolistic storefront. Like, it's insane that it's that popular.
Very apt way to describe it.
Yeah.
I think it's got to do with just, like, its popularity among the streaming community, among the Twitch community.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The fact that it has a lot of events in it. Like, it has, like, weird... the world map slowly shrinks as the game goes on.
Yeah.
So it escalates over time as there's less people. You know, places get carpet bombed. It's all, like... It's just, like, a real... battle royale situation.
Yeah, and I think that, like, there's something core about, like, I'm probably going to play the game, and I've been meaning to at some point in a while, but like I said, competitive shooters just aren't really my thing. If I was going to do it, I would team up with a group of friends and, like, jump in all at once, and it would be like our first miserable experience together.
If you do play, let me know and we'll play together.
Also, actually, I'm just going to throw this out there. You can cut this out if you don't want it to actually be said. If any of you are interested in potentially playing with this,
hit us up on
Facebook or Twitter and maybe we can get an actual group together.
That's a great idea. Why didn't I think of that? Yeah, totally. We should form a group. A slowpoke.
I don't know how much it is. If it's like $80, I'm not going to do this.
I don't think it's $80. Yeah. But maybe. We'll see.
All right. Well,
if enough people pester us, then we'll definitely do it.
The opposite end of the success spectrum from news in the last sort of 2 weeks is that Pokemon Go had a group event, a Pokemon Go Fest, kind of a convention type thing. It was a fucking disaster.
Yeah. Basically, what happened is the mobile network in the area crashed.
Yeah. So they had something like 60,000 people or whatever it is show up.
So many people.
And they've released new content in line with this event. So, like, all of the legendary bird Pokemon got released, and you need to have a 12-person raid group together to catch them.
Yeah.
And so the whole idea was like, yeah, we're kicking this off. We're going to have heaps of people together. They're all going to get their fucking Moltreses and their Articunos and whatnot. But no one could play the game because it requires a mobile connection. And there wasn't one in the area because there were too many people had their fucking phones.
Yeah.
And I would not have thought of this being a problem, being some dude on the ground. If I was an event organizer, I would expect somebody to have detected this as a potential problem.
See, I'm not an event organizer, but I've worked in telecommunications before on, like, a very, like, admin kind of level. And I know how easily you can saturate, like, those kind of links.
Yeah.
And the second you get more than, like, 1,000 people, and as we, like, from memory, I think Pokemon Go is data intensive. Mm. It uses a lot of data. I know it uses a lot of battery. But once you get that many people there, you need to be running fiber optic cables. Like, you need massive, massive pipelines coming to that site and Wi-Fi connections. A normal telecom network, especially, was it in the US?
I'm pretty sure it's in the States, yeah.
Some countries, different countries have different
qualities of
data speed. And from memory, the US has a very low quality one.
Yeah.
Depending on where you are. I know in Australia, where we are, we actually do have a surprisingly strong in some
areas. It's one of those things that we can kind of be proud of, at least in the cities that we're elitistly hailing from. Rural areas, there's also going to be different kinds of difficulties with that.
Yeah, mostly nothing, because Australia has its own problems because of its size and sparse population. But once you get that many people together, it's ridiculous. Like, you have to go to lengths to set up, like, proper Wi-Fi hotspots, proper coverage across the place, public access keys, all this kind of stuff. You cannot just get a crew of people to turn up.
Yeah. Apparently, at one point, someone came out on stage and was all like, hey, how are you guys all enjoying the new content? You got your new birds or whatever? And people are just booing him, and, like, they're all chanting, we can't play.
It was one of the people from Niantic, the company that made the game.
And, like, I feel somewhat sorry for that specific person, because that specific person probably was not specifically responsible for the problem, but the company as a whole Oh, that's a learning opportunity. On the whole, maybe next time do a little bit better.
That being said, though, I don't know of many events that require that kind of telecom phone access, right? Apart from
Wimbledon a fucking problem? Like, even events that are half this size.
Apart from Niantic's other game, Ingress, which was all about this and also had the same problems, right? They used to hold public events at locations and they also ran into this problem.
Jesus Christ.
So it cost money and, like, you know, no one wants to pay money when they don't have to, but it was just a disaster waiting to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
From gaming failure to gaming success, success in general. We also have Nintendo have published some sales figures recently, and
this is gaming success.
Yeah, this is gaming success. I thought I mixed up the order a little bit on our rundown. So Nintendo have released some sales figures in the last couple of, I think, days. It was actually relatively recent. They have sold over just under 5 million Switch consoles.
Oh boy!
And so that's pretty good.
It's pretty. Isn't it like? That's probably over half of what the Wii U sold.
Yeah, I remember hearing something like about that the Wii U lifetime sales are, I think, 11 million.
Yeah.
So they're almost halfway there in the first 3 or 4 months of release.
It's a real sweet looking piece of kit.
Yeah, it's selling really, really well. Somewhat of another fun fact, almost that many copies of Breath of the Wild have been sold as well. I think actually, I might be mixing that up. I think it's almost that many Switch copies of Breath of the Wild have been sold, but total Breath of the Wild's sales actually are more than the Switch console, because you can get it on Wii U as well.
I know so many people who have bought the Switch just for Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
It's their Breath of the Wild machine.
I have spent a lot of time in Breath of the Wild, and there have been a couple of updates that kind of I wish were present when I started the game, but it is really good. It is a really, really good game. Like, there are some fair complaints about, like, weapon durability and all the little things that everybody has said. You all know that, but the meat of the game, it's the best open world experience I've had probably ever. The only time I can think it would actually contend would be Red Dead Redemption.
Mm.
As far as, like, the world itself being
a place.
A place that I really wanted to be in and that kind of thing. Like, Mass Effect has a really great world lore, but being in the world is not actually that enrapturing.
Mm.
But this is, like, it's incredible. It's really, really good. And so it makes complete sense to me that they've had this much success in this amount of time.
Yep.
And as a Switch owner, if I can be very self-interested at the moment, positive sales figures are good, because I want third-party support and I want, you know, real evidence that people are going to start doing shit, or it's not just going to be my Nintendo machine, you know?
And as a scavenger, I can't wait till the DS gets super cheap so I can buy it on the download. And I'm just going to buy all the cheap secondhand DS games like I did with the PS Vita. Although, admittedly, I'm probably going to sweep in and buy a Wii U at some point and get all the old Mario games, because that's just how I roll.
Yeah, no, I'm probably just going to go virtual console on the Switch. Like, there's an argument that, you know, I'm not the first person to make it, but if there's a game that's available on a console and also on the Switch, portability is a really, really hard feature to outdo.
Oh yeah, like, totally.
There are games that I will get on my Switch that I could get on PC, but I would prefer to have on my Switch because I can take it with me.
Yeah, and as someone who used to play heaps of games on my phone, I used to have like 10, 15 in-depth games. A lot of those, have you heard of the Hitman Go games?
Yeah, I've heard of them.
There's like a whole bunch of there's a lot of fun, really fun phone games you can get out there. I've removed almost all of them.
Yeah.
Mostly because they're giving me RSI. Right? And so now my phone is just like a podcast phone device.
Yeah.
But having the Vita as a portable gaming thing, or my tablet, which also has games on it as a slightly larger device, has its place in my life. And I can totally get that. And especially when you look at like a laptop as a portability device, it's just not as nice as having something that you can even just put into a pocket.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, my phone and if you take the controllers off the Switch, my phone and the Switch are the same size, basically.
Yeah.
I have a large phone. It feels much larger than it actually is in terms of the dimensions it takes up in, like, my bag and whatever. Like, it is very, very portable, and it's very powerful as well. Like, it is impressive what they've done with the hardware. I'm glad it's doing well, and it makes sense to me that it's doing well.
Yeah.
Other news for, I think this was just like Wednesday just gone or something, but the next episode of Rick and Morty season 3 came out.
Yeah, is this episode 3 or 2?
This is episode 2.
Yeah. So, we're in Australia.
Yep.
I've already seen it.
I have already seen it as well.
Yep. Anyway, it's really good.
Yeah, it's quite good. So, when I watched the first episode of the season three. Yeah,
the one they released a while ago now.
So good, right? Yeah. Like, it's just a very, very good show. There's this moment at the end where, for any of you who've said, it's a little bit of a spoiler here, but at the end of it, they do a thing that's sort of reminiscent of the end of episode one, where Rick is screaming down at Morty that, like, this is going to be our darkest season ever, 100 more years, Rick and Morty, is going to be the darkest season ever, Morty, it's going to get so dark. And I was a little bit disappointed in that, because I didn't miss the darkness. this first episode back after that, episode two, was very, there was a sense of relief for me, because it is not as dark as I was afraid it would be. It's actually very, very energetic, very, very funny. All the things we love from the show, the great dialogue, the great interaction between the characters.
Yeah, zany adventures.
But also, yeah, it was quite... Like, there wasn't any moment where I was just like, holy shit, you know? Like, that nothing. There was nothing that I found upsetting. And that definitely has its place in a show like this.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that it wasn't like...
Shock factor 24/7.
Yeah, it wasn't like Game of Thrones season 5 or whatever, where I was just... Mm-hmm. Exhausted.
Yep, totally know what that means. gotta catch up with Game of Thrones. That's good. Hopefully, like, I love the guys who make it. I love a lot of their other work too. So I'm just glad they're making great stuff.
Yeah, I saw a thing just earlier today as well that apparently Dan Harmon's doing like a YouTube series, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's some sort of, is it scripted esports thing?
Yeah, or? I mean, like, I only just glanced past it on Twitter, but Polygon tells me right now that it is a scripted esports comedy.
Is Terry Crews in it?
Terry Crews in it? Surely that would be in the lead if it was true. Terry Crews has a cameo, you son of a bitch.
I'm so glad I'm not a racist.
Yeah, no, I'm going to watch that. Yep. Oh, damn it, I'll have to get YouTube Red. I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah, I love that. I hate YouTube Red too.
Yeah.
You know why I hate YouTube Red? Not because it removes ads, not because it lets you download things, not all the wonderful features that it has, because the shows that it comes with, I hate them.
Yeah.
they always look so bad.
Wasn't there, like, there's one where it's like a scripted show about, it's like halfway between a reality show and like a Victorian haunted house
I see those trailers. I know what you're talking about. I see those trailers.
Apparently that show is amazing, but every single time I see a still or a trailer, I want to fucking die.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I just want to die. Like, I understand that you and I have an internet-based, gaming-centric thing. So I know, I want to make it very clear that I'm talking about uncool parts of myself.
Yeah.
You know how people just have the face and they look like a streamer?
Yes.
Yeah, there is a look, especially to the white dudes who do it.
There is a consistent look to a
lot of people in that field. And when I see their face, all of these people who look kind of like PewDiePie, I can't imagine them being compelling outside that thing. I know that's so uncool of me. Like, I know that it's incredibly superficial.
David, a lot of these people
are probably super insightful and super not a racist, but...
David, we're not very cool. You don't have to worry about pretending to be cool.
But when I say cool, what I mean to say is it's unethical. It's
not in vogue.
It's a shitty thing for me to say.
That's true.
I'm not saying that it's not popular. I'm saying it's a shitty thing for me to say that this person looks kind of like PewDiePie and that makes me like them less. That's a shitty thing to do as a person.
Yeah, David, you're terrible.
But when I see these series with all of these people and they all look the same and they're in these like Victorian get-ups, but they have their super contemporary haircuts and stuff.
And it doesn't help that the trailers are cut for maximum...
Like recognition and
attention grabbing kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't feel like these shows are going to be deep and compelling.
See, the thing that I'm excited that Dan Harmon is doing is he's going to be doing an adaptation of Sirens of Titan by Kurt Vonnegut.
I know that you are a fan of Kurt Vonnegut, and all the rest of the information in that sentence is meaningless to me.
So there's a cracked podcast on Kurt Vonnegut called Kurt Vonnegut, which I'm now plugging in our podcast.
Cool.
You can't do anything about it. I've just done it. Which is just them talking about... It's two personalities from Cracked talking about Kurt Vonnegut's novels.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me want to read, and I've started reading some of his books. So for me to see Sirens of Titan getting a thing, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. See, Dan Harmon, we talk a lot about like whether or not an actor has range, but it's interesting to think about showrunners and whether or not they do. Most of the time, I think that showrunners are talked about because they don't, because they have a consistent style, you know? Like, even... like directors that I super, super respect, like Tarantino, right?
Yep.
Part of the reason that I'm excited to go see a Tarantino movie is because I know there are going to be things that are consistent in it with his other films.
True.
Dan Harmon has a huge amount of range as a showrunner. Like,
yep.
I've not seen all of his stuff. But I mean, if you look at Rick and Morty and compare that to the Community, you can see the similarities, but they're still totally different shows in terms of like tone and theme and purpose.
Yeah.
So the idea of him working on something like
Sirens of Titan,
or I mean, even this this game thing, which even as we've just talked about how much I love Dan Harmon, still looks a little bit maybe.
We're gonna try it. Maybe we should just try it out, David. See how it goes.
But I don't want to have to get YouTube Red.
Don't worry, David. We can get a trial of YouTube Red.
I've already used it.
David,
because they let you listen to the music with the screen off, so I've already used up my trial.
Well, you'll just have to come over and watch it with me at Slowpoke's HQ.
Yeah, maybe. Do we have anything else we want to talk about this week?
Nah, I think we can just wrap it up here.
Sweet. Well, thanks everybody for joining us for our Fast Cast once again.
Fast Cast, super fast.
Pew, pew, pew. That's the thing you do every single time I say Fast Cast. If you like what we do, head to iTunes. You can find everything we do there. Please leave a rating and a review if you think that if you like what we do, please share as well. I know it's a little bit like cliched, but it helps so much, and we really want to be able to get in front of more people and grow the show, and we really appreciate anything you can do towards building that.
Exactly. And just heads up, if you ever sort of see us disappear, like if we don't release episodes for a while, something might happen with our hosting service. It shouldn't affect most people, but it might affect you.
Yeah, so if you do notice a little bit of a gap, head to our Twitter at SlowpokesCast or Facebook, facebook.com/SlowpokesPodcast.
Yep.
Ask us what the fuck, and we will calmly explain how we screwed up.
Yep. And how we've messed up everything.
Yeah, but as John said, 98% chance you won't even notice the shit that's changing on the back end.
Totes.
Our next game will be Unfinished Swan, a PS3... minimalist kind of art game.
It's also available on Vita. If none of you have Vita.
And PS4, I think.
Yeah. It is, because I played it on my PS4.
Of course, yeah. It's still pretty expensive, isn't it?
It's
$30.
It's pretty highly priced, but it was an interesting experience, and I found it so refreshing to play, so.
Yeah, well, if you're interested in that, hit up our next episode. But thanks for joining us for our Slowpokes Fastcast.
Fastcast.
I have been David.
And I've been John.
Pew, 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 pew. He did it again.
It's because I love you.
Yeah, there we go. Slow.